Self-made Christians are incompetent. Self-sufficient Christians are incompetent. We are incapable of good spiritual work or service, but it's God who makes the difference. We see that in the life of Paul. And dear believer, before you can be blessed by the sufficiency of our God, you must be humbled into understanding that you are insufficient. And that's a step in the gospel as well. Insufficient to be saved. Insufficient to save yourself. It is of God. It is of the Savior. Do we realize this morning that humbling reality that we are insufficient? And it should bring us closer to the Lord.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and I'm delighted to welcome you to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need. You have been listening to Above the Throne of God Above. Welcome to our program today. We're delighted you've joined with us as we come now to our message, Resting in Our Sufficient God, Part 2.
Self-made Christians are incompetent. Self-sufficient Christians are incompetent. We are incapable of good spiritual work or service, but it's God who makes the difference. We see that in the life of Paul. And dear believer, before you can be blessed by the sufficiency of our God, you must be humbled into understanding that you are insufficient. And that's a step in the gospel as well. Insufficient to be saved. Insufficient to save yourself. It is of God. It is of the Savior? Do we realize this morning that humbling reality that we are insufficient? And it should bring us closer to the Lord. It should bring us to prayer more often. It should bring us more often to His Word. It should bring us more often to hearing His Word preached, that our hearts would be challenged and edified and built up. Oh, that we would understand we are insufficient. Insufficient. Well, we can sit as a congregation and as a church, and we can make plans, and many churches do that. They make plans and they have programs, and they decide what is going to be done in the future and what means of outreach is going to be used and all sorts of things. Many good ideas, but God must be in them. And the sufficiency of putting these things together and engaging in these things must be all of God, resting upon Him, for we ourselves are nothing. Secondly, here we must realize the glorious truth of our God's sufficiency. We must realize the glorious truth of our God's sufficiency. We need to remind ourselves we're insufficient. As it were, put the boot on our head and remember that we are but dust, as it were, in comparison to our glorious Creator. And when we realize we can do nothing, we must look then to the One who can do these things, the One who is sufficient. Dear believer, it's a glorious truth. The humbling reality of our insufficiency is a truth that may hurt us and pain us. But it ought to humble us that we look to the glorious truth that our God is sufficient. The Westminster Divines were tasked with producing a catechism, and they endeavored to give a definition of who God is. There are stories told of how they define God. It was maybe a difficult thing, of course, to define God. But one of their delegates prayed, and I suppose we could say this is a legend or a myth. If it's true, I don't know. But the story is told of one of the delegates to that assembly who prayed a prayer that was very similar to the words of the catechism. It was used in the catechism. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. In His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. In His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. Does that answer not proclaim something to you? Does it not proclaim the sufficiency of God? The sufficiency of God. He's infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. Not just a little goodness. Not just a little bit of truth mixed with a whole lot of lies like men. But He is all truth and all power and all goodness. He is perfect. He is sufficient. This answer cries out to you and I. Our God is a sufficient God. A sufficient God. He is infinite. Job said, "Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection?" And no, we can't. He's eternal. Before the mountains, the psalmist said, were brought forth. Or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And we find it hard for human minds to comprehend this. But God is not bound by time. He was there in the beginning. He will be there past the end. And there are those of us here, we have seen perhaps a lot of years. There may be some of us who feel that we've been here since the beginning of time. Our bodies ache and we feel old and a lack of energy. And we feel maybe much older than the years that we have. But yet the reality is, our lives are but a little puff of steam, a little bit of vapor in the great history of this world that will one day pass away. Our lives are a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. God is not bound by time. He was there in the beginning. He is here now. He is here to the end of this world and in eternity. I can think of my mobile phone, my cell phone. It has a beginning when it was designed and when it was created. I bought it and I use it. But in the future, one day I will cease to use it. I still have a contract. I'm a few months into a 2-year contract, so hopefully I will not cease to use it anytime soon, and it will last. I had a problem some years ago. I had bought a new phone, and I'm quite pleased. It was the first real good smartphone I had ever purchased, and I came out of work. It was in my jacket, my windbreaker. I got into the car, and I closed the door. I drove home. I couldn't find my phone. I drove back to work. There it is in the parking lot. It fell out of my pocket just as I closed the door, and it was flimsy, and it flipped up and showed the numbers and the screen and all sorts of things. My first touchscreen phone, and it was basically snapped in half when I closed the door, and I didn't realize. And so it wasn't insured or anything like that, and it died very early on in that contract that I had. But we know about our cell phones. One day it will end, maybe suddenly. One day it will be no longer of use. It has its beginning, it has its end, like everything in this world. We know that. We understand that, but God is different. God has no beginning and God has no end, and Scripture teaches us this great truth. He's not bound by any law, nor time, nor space. We are bound to the time in which we live. We are bound to the space in which we live. I'm here today, and I'm nowhere else. That's impossible. I said last Sunday evening I was here in our pulpit. I was also in Calgary pulpit, but not physically. It was by a video message that I'd preached here several months ago. And so while I was present in two pulpits, there was a catch to it. I was only here in person. But God is present here, and God is present in our other congregations and other places where he is worshipped faithfully. At the same time, he is with us today. He's not bound by these things. He is unchangeable as well. James said that there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. There's much change in this world. Much change in this world. We change our minds continually. Continually. But God is unchangeable in his person. He is dependable. He can be trusted. We can think of his wisdom and his power and his holiness and his justice and goodness and truth, that he cannot lie. And we could spend more time looking at all of this. Our God is a truthful God, abundant in goodness and truth, Moses said. And when we think of who God is, he is sufficient. And it's a glorious truth for us. We can rest upon him for salvation. We know we're saved. Why? Because he is a sufficient God. A sufficient God. The Apostle Paul knew this. 2 Corinthians 12, he had his thorn in the flesh. It was not to be removed, but God said, his grace is sufficient. Sufficient grace to help. God is sufficient in his redemption. In his redemption. There are many that have doubts and fears about salvation and redemption. They hope they can be saved. They maybe hope they are saved. And maybe you're struggling. But what does the Scripture say? Here in his love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's a fact. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a fact. Dear believer, if you turn from sin and you look to Christ, you can be assured of that salvation, because Christ is a sufficient Savior. He's the only Savior. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. His work is the only ground of salvation. His work is a finished work. Oh, we can rest in him. As the apostle says, our sufficiency is of God. God is sufficient. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe in your heart that God and all that he is? And there's a great depth to that catechism answer, and a great depth to who God is that reminds us of his sufficiency that we've only really glimpsed at. But when you think of these truths, are you convinced? Yes, God is a sufficient God. He's sufficient to save me. Trust in him. He's sufficient in that he did save me. Rejoice in that. He's sufficient to help me in trial and in service and in living for him. And seek him and rejoice that he is sufficient. Thirdly and finally, I want you to see that we must rejoice in the blessedness of our God's sufficiency. We must rejoice in the blessedness of our God's sufficiency. Believer, this morning, what is your reaction to these truths concerning the sufficiency of God? Is your heart cold toward these truths? It should not be cold. We should be rejoicing. We should be rejoicing that though we're weak and feeble, God is sufficient for us. There's a blessedness to these truths, and a blessedness to us that is rooted deep within these truths. And why do we rejoice in His sufficiency? For He is sufficient in His purpose. In His purpose for this world, the Lord is sufficient. He sustains it. He gives us all the common graces of life. We enjoy the blessings of God. We enjoy the harvest. We enjoy nature. We enjoy families because of the grace of God and God's controlling hand upon this world. We may worry about the future, but God is sufficient for us in this world. He's sufficient for us in our lives. God is sufficient in every aspect of our lives. With Him, nothing is impossible. We read Psalm 46. He is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Paul suffered greatly. And what does Paul say to the church at Corinth? Oh, you might suffer and be shipwrecked and stoned and left for dead and endure imprisonment. Prisons in those days were not comfortable places. Back in the United Kingdom, we often talked about her or his, as it is now, His Majesty's Hotel, the prison. But prisons back many, many years ago, prisons back at the time of the apostle here, was certainly not a hotel, not even close, not even the basic comforts that we enjoy today. But yet He suffered these things, and what does He say? Be careful, don't get into trouble. Keep your head down and not watch for the authorities coming to get you. No, He says, God is sufficient. Whatever we face, God is sufficient in His work. And whatever that work entails, He is sufficient in all of these things because of His power. And He rejoices in this. And God is sufficient for His church. The context of this verse finds the apostle speaking of God's sufficiency on the issue of His church, specifically regarding ministers. But we can apply that to all of the church of Christ. We can rejoice that God is sufficient for His people through the means of grace, through His word, through the sacraments. And if you want to know the sufficiency of the Lord for His church, you need to be under the word and under prayer, through His methods as well. God's ways, God has His ways for His church, the preaching of the gospel of Christ. It's not entertainment, it's preaching. Many churches have strange and weird means of outreach. I remember several years ago, and we're not talking 70s or 80s, we're talking around 2010, there was a church, very liberal church in Northern Ireland, and as outreach, what were they doing? They had young girls, late teens, early 20s, going out into the streets of the town. They had signs and they had t-shirts, and their means of outreach was to give free hugs. Free hugs. And among the very conservative churches in the area, and even among Christians who may not have been so conservative, they did not like that idea at all. We won't be going out giving free hugs on outreach. We'll be going out giving gospel leaflets and speaking of Christ. The same church, they did outreach later on, and they dressed up. The pastor had a penguin costume on. Christmas was the time of year. Giving out invitations to the church, dressed like a penguin. A penguin. I'm not going to be doing that. Certainly not. But they're bringing down that standard and going about God's work through an entirely different means, an entirely different method. I thought They were given out an invitation to some nightclub or social thing in the town, but it was a church invitation. And we could go on and on and on about the methods that are used that are not God glorifying. What is the great method that God says in his word? Preach the gospel. Paul preached. Paul witnessed. The church of Christ and ourselves, we're to be witnesses for Christ. And we need to get back to God's ways and God's methods and the preaching of the cross. Those methods, God says, are sufficient. Not the ideas of the world. Not bringing the music of the world into the house of God. Not bringing music by those who have all sorts of ideas about God. They say they're Christians, but they reject a large amount of what God teaches. We're not to bring their things into the house of God. We're to worship God and serve him by his ways. Separated away from this world. Why? Because his ways are sufficient. His ways are sufficient. Sufficient ways. If we were to change things up a bit, bring in the lights and bring in the drums and bring in modern worship, well, we might be more appealing, but that's not God's ways. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Sing his praises. Not focusing upon music and loud music, but the simple piano to help us to sing and help us to have that tune. Simply praising God. God's ways are sufficient ways. Man will say no. Man has his ideas. But we need to remember that we're resting upon our sufficient God. And this truth that our sufficiency is in God has some practical thoughts to us as we close very quickly. It convinces us of the vanity or emptiness of all things for everything that is not of God. Everything that is not of God is insufficient. This truth that God is sufficient is a comforting truth for our adversities and our troubles. It's a truth that rebukes those who neglect the all-sufficiency of God. In theory, you can believe it. But do you practice it? Do you practice it? I don't think anyone here would stand up and say, God is not sufficient. But do you believe that and practice it in your life? It encourages us to go forward for God in holy living and service. It helps us to glorify him. It gives us a sufficient example to meditate. We're to follow in his way. If he is sufficient for us, let us be sufficient in not being anxious for the things of this life. Let us put the Lord first. Let us put the Lord first. The Banner of Truth published many books. They've printed a collection of Puritan prayers. It's called The Valley of Vision. And it says, one of those prayers, "The world is before me this day, and I am weak and fearful. But I look to thee for strength. If I venture forth alone, I stumble and fall. But on the Beloved's arms I am firm as the eternal hills. If left to the treachery of my heart, I shall shame thy name. But if enlightened, guided, upheld by thy Spirit, I shall bring thee glory. Be thou my arm to support, my strength to stand, my light to see, my feet to run, my shield to protect, my sword to repel, my sun to warm." Oh, they prayed that, and they focused upon who God is and his sufficiency. Let us never forget that truth. Dear believer, don't forget that truth. If we all individually forget that truth, that God is sufficient, then what happens? This church as a whole forgets that truth, that God is sufficient. Let us not do that. Let us believe wholeheartedly that in all things he is sufficient for us. And let that truth draw us closer to him in depending upon him. May the Lord bless his word for his name's sake. Amen. Amen. For you.
Our Spurgeon devotional today is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 22 and verse 48. "Betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss?" The kiss is often enemy or deceitful. Let me be on my guard when the world puts on a loving face, for it will, if possible, betray me as it did my master with a kiss. Whenever a man is about to stab religion, he usually professes very great reverence for it. Let me be aware of the sleek-faced hypocrisy which is armour-bearer to heresy and infidelity. Knowing the deceivableness of unrighteousness, let me be wise as a serpent to detect and avoid the signs of the enemy. The young man, void of understanding, was led astray by the kiss of the strange woman. May my soul be so graciously instructed all this day that the much fair speech of the world may have no effect upon me. Holy Spirit, let me not, a poor, frail son of man, be betrayed with a kiss. But what if I should be guilty of the same accursed sin as Judas, that son of perdition? I have been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. I am a member of his visible church. I sit at the communion table. All these are so many kisses of my lips. Am I sincere in them? If not, I am a base traitor. Do I live in the world as carelessly as others do, and yet make a profession of being a follower of Jesus? Then I must expose religion to ridicule, and lead men to speak evil of the holy name by which I am called. Surely if I act thus inconsistently, I am a Judas, and it were better for me that I had never been born. Dare I hope that I am clear in this matter? Then, O Lord, keep me so. O Lord, make me sincere and true. Preserve me from every false way. Never let me betray my Saviour. I do love thee, Jesus, and though I often grieve thee, yet I would desire to abide faithful unto death. O God, forbid that I should be a high, soaring professor, and then fall at last into the lake of fire, because I betrayed my master with a kiss. This is Let the Bible Speak. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for joining with us today as the Word of God has been preached and set forth. Do you love the Saviour? It is our desire that through these programs that not only would you turn from sin and trust in the Lamb of God, but that you would day by day continue to grow in your love for him. May the Lord bless you, and may you join with us again as we let the Bible speak. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.